Welcome into the Phoenix Sports Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. I'm your host, Michaela Perkins, and joining me today is Derek Montilla, Greg Esposito. Actually, it's Greg Esposito's evil twin. You guys are going to hear his voice in a second, and it's not going to sound like Espo, so I'm calling it Espo's evil twin. And Steve Peters, the one and only. How are you guys doing this lovely Wednesday?
This is the evil twin?
Yeah. Not as good knowing I'm sitting next to an imposter.
I mean,
so the other one's the nice one?
Do you want to share your voice with us?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
Oh my God.
No, I'm not.
What it sounded like.
I'm not the evil twin. I'm just, apparently I've overtaxed my vocal cords lately. So.
No, you don't say.
I'm just talking way too much for the people of Phoenix.
Well, that's what you get for your bragging in our faces about how many shows you appeared on in a week. Yep,
who holds the record right now? I take Derek. Really?
No, it's this guy, yeah.
Seriously?
He's got me beat by one show.
Yeah, he's got you beat by one show? That's incredible.
That's right.
Derek's on every show ever, so.
We're going to have a week where I just do every show just to see if I can live through it.
The poor viewers and listeners. Yeah, you know what? Smack. So sorry.
No one's breaking down the door to do those Coyotes podcasts.
Hey, I'm in. I haven't gotten the invite yet.
I did not bet on them to lose, Petey, and they won, so things are going good.
I don't think anybody needs to do the Coyotes podcast. I don't know how. I was saying this before we started the show, but Leah, Craig, and Petey have somehow managed to make a hockey team that has only won two games this entire year actually interesting.
Wow.
I really enjoy watching that show.
Did you have any doubts?
Wow. Sounds like she had lots of doubts.
Yeah.
Sounds like it was going to be a dumpster fire, much like the team this year on the ice.
I was like, why are we even doing a Coyote show?
Yeah, we thought the same thing.
If you guys haven't checked out the PHNX Coyote show, you have to. They do an incredible job. Even if you don't care or like the Coyotes, still watch their show because it's so good.
We do have fun.
Yeah, you guys do have fun.
Thanks, Mac.
How about we get into our Valley Sports temperature check? Speaking of the Coyotes, they won!
They won!
They won!
Burr, 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 burr,
yay!
Burr. For only the second time this season, the Coyotes managed to win a game. They beat the Blues. Petey, what is it about the Blues than the Coyotes that they just can't seem to win?
You know, it's four straight wins in St. Louis in a tough building against a team that's battling for first place in the Central. There is no explanation. It's different coaches, different players, different management, and they still win in that building. I don't know what it is. It's not system. It's not players. There's just something about playing in St. Louis. I tell you what, though, it was a fun game to watch. Goaltending got him through. I mean, Wedgwood made the saves he needed to make when he was called upon, gave the team a chance to take a deep breath and create some offense. They haven't had that all season. It was fun. Do I think they're going on a big streak like our hometown Suns? You know, pump the brakes a little bit, but it was nice
probably
to get a win.
Probably not.
Does Wedgie have to keep the New Jersey gear now?
Question, though. This is good because we talked about the Discord, so I'm actually glad you brought it up. The New Jersey gears, people were saying, well, what's the problem? Is he just superstitious? Reality? Supply chain issues. They can't get the gear.
Nah.
That gear is handmade. So one, it takes a long time.
True.
Two, when they do finally get it, they have to break it in. But they are having... It's difficult to get equipment, and some of this stuff is made around the world, and they're having a hard time. I actually checked into it today.
It's a case of if it's not broke, don't pay a whole ton of money to fix it.
Just roll with it.
And you know what? Thank goodness the New Jersey Devils are black and red, so it's kind of like squint a little bit or take your glasses off like Craig does, then it doesn't really matter.
Goalie gear is expensive, isn't it?
Yes.
Everything in hockey is expensive.
I'm guessing a NHL franchise can afford it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Do they have to pay? Maybe. They don't pay for their own gear, do they?
No, they don't. You know what they do, though, for their masks? Because they get them custom painted.
Oh, right, they get custom made,
So you got to get the custom paint job, and the team does not provide that.
So you can't just roll down to Sports Authority or Dick's Sporting Goods and just...
Nah.
You can't. I mean, the swap meet's closed, or else I'd say go down there and have one of those airbrush artists hit it up.
Sick. We should do that. I've got a blank... goalie mask at home. We should get a PNX stop.
Let's do that.
That would be pretty sweet.
Can we do that?
Can we get Phoenix on the side of it?
PHNX. Can we get that?
Yeah,
that would be pretty cool. I think we should.
Do anything.
See if Saul's got that in the budget.
I approve the expense. Okay, Saul, but it's approved.
Then we'll put it right. Yeah, I'm in. I'll bring it in.
All right.
Well, the Coyotes, that they did manage to beat the Blues. I don't know how. Everyone is injured, right? Petey, the whole roster is just
decimated
at this point.
And the big news, they had one more win than the Diamondbacks this week.
That's awful.
True. That's
awesome. Sounds like a completely unnecessary side swipe.
To be fair, they had one more win than the Cardinals this week.
Oh, geez. They will play the Blue Jackets tomorrow. Do you have them winning that game?
No.
Nope. Okay.
I don't know. It's a tough day. Tough travel coming from east to west. Their first game back. It's going to be a tall task to beat Columbus. But if they get that kind of goaltending, I think they'll be in the game. So we'll see.
Which is really crazy because at the beginning of the season, we were terrified about the goaltending. Carter Hutton was not looking too hot. We only really had Vemelka in net, which was not great case scenario. You don't want to only be having one goalie in the National Hockey League. But now we have two somehow. They picked up Wedgie.
He's a 25-year-old guy that's never played in North America before. They put a lot on his plate early, and you know I think the chance for MVP may be a little too premature. He struggled when he was finally given the mantle, and I think this is a better spot for him to be backing up Wedgwood. Wedgwood's a veteran guy. He understands what's going on here in the organization. He gets the rebuilding. He's mature enough. And you know what? He's getting a chance to play because he wasn't playing in New Jersey. So it's a good fit for everybody. So I'm actually really excited for him.
Is it though? Is there a chance when Hutton comes back that they go back to the plan that originally was there?
I don't look for Carter Hutton to rush back.
Okay. I was just wondering because
that will be an issue because you'll have three goalies that are, you can't keep all three of them. There's no point in sending him to the minors because you need Ivan Prosvetov to develop down there and be the guy. There isn't room for three. Somebody's going to be the odd man out. And to me right now, Scott Wedgwood has to be the guy you play. And believe me, this team is not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to threaten for the playoffs. They're still going to lose games, whether Scott Wedgwood's in the net, Carter Hutton, or Kirill Vemelka. They're still going to lose. Mm-hmm. So the plan is fine. But let's give the team a chance to win a game now and then. And I think Wedgwood's done the best of that.
I mean, and more importantly, it's Wedgie and Veggie. So that's like a television show waiting to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
The best goalie tandem nickname duo
that
in the whole
brilliant.
League.
It's like a roommate show. One of them's foreign, one of them's North American.
Yeah, perfect stranger. Totally perfect stranger.
It is.
Arizona Coyotes, if you're listening to this, hit us up. We'll help
get
you
get commercial
content.
Series going.
Wedgie's a nerd that gets picked on all the time. Yeah. Veggie's a health freak. I think we got some.
I think we really got some.
Brett in the comments giving a shout out to Petey. Petey's in a little bit of a feisty mood today, so prepare for a lot more of those zings.
Everybody's out of control.
If you're in the comments, say what's up. Let us know you're there. We'll give you a shout out on the show. We love it when you guys interact with us. Well, going from one team that can't seem to win every now and then to a team that can't stop winning, Phoenix Suns are on a 9-game win streak, the longest active win streak in the NBA right now. What is going on with the Suns, Espo? What's working for them?
I believe it's called muy caliente. They're not even playing that well. That's the impressive thing. Yeah. They have not put together a full game. They've had issues. CP3's playing well, which is always helpful. He's back to picking and choosing when he turns on his offensive game to kind of give them room and kind of spread a lead. Devin Booker's still not shooting as effectively as anybody'd hoped. DeAndre Ayton finally back, had a double-double. After missing, I believe it was 6 of 7 games. So, look, they've won 9 in a row, and they haven't come close to reaching their potential. So, I'm not saying they're going to win 18 in a row, but this is their longest win streak since 2010. They've really just found a way to win even when it's ugly, like the other night in Minnesota. And to me, that's a sign of an actually good team. There were some people that are like, and were the Suns pretenders? What was
there
last
were so
year?
Many doubters at the beginning of the season when they were having that rough patch.
There still are, even after this win streak. But to me, this is a sign of no, they're a team that understands how to win and that they'll do it even when they're not playing their best basketball, which is key. They're still playing down to their opponents a little bit, but look, I think the streak ends tonight against the Mavs.
I was going to ask. They are playing the Mavs tonight. Frank Kaminsky is out. What are you expecting from that matchup?
That's his big problem right there.
Yeah.
The COVID.
I suppose I'm going to leave now.
The COVID
is
over? So what does that do with DeAndre Ayton back in the lineup for the big man down the middle? If Kaminsky were healthy and we're still in the lineup, is the minutes are gone?
It may. No, I don't think Frank's minutes would be gone necessarily. He just... Monty would have to ride the hot hand backing up DA. So you'd have to figure out, okay, if JaVale's really got it going, how do you play him? JaVale and Monty said this tends to play better in 5-minute stretches. So there is opportunity to have Frank play as well. But to be honest, Frank has disappeared to the bench on multiple occasions over his time in Phoenix, and he's just a guy that's always ready if and when you need him. I mean, beginning of the season, he wasn't playing much. DA gets hurt. He comes in, obviously has a great stretch there. So I think Monty will find minutes, but also I'm prepared, as much as it hurts me, that Frank may not play significantly, after he comes back from injury as well.
So the 30-point night is not looming in the near future.
I sure hope not. You're not shaving your light hair yet? Not yet. But, Mac, to answer your question, I think I really feel they lose tonight against the Mavs, coming off a road trip back home for the first game. Late game on ESPN, you're playing the Mavs, even though Luka won't be playing because he's ducking DA. You know, it's I still have an off feeling, but I think they win again. Late night game on ESPN against Dallas on Friday, because who in the hell does the scheduling for the NBA? I don't know, but you get an 8 p.m. Wednesday game against the Mavs on ESPN and an 8 p.m. Friday game against the Mavs on ESPN, both in Phoenix. So yeah, I think they win the second one. They lose the first one.
Okay.
DA has been playing great, by the way, in his return. And I think that the schedule helped with that win streak a little bit.
Right? Oh, definitely. But you got to win against whoever you're facing. Like, absolutely. You can't do much about the schedule. So.
That is true. All right. Moving on to the Cardinals. I know, Derek, you are our Diamondbacks guy, but we're going to talk a little bit cards here. Yes. They lost their matchup against the Panthers. This is their sixth straight game against the Panthers that they've lost.
It's awful.
I don't understand. It seems like the complete opposite from the Coyotes and the Blues situation. Yeah. The Cardinals and the Panthers constantly lose against the Panthers.
It's the same thing. It doesn't even make sense. It transcends over years. I feel like the last time they beat the Panthers was in the playoffs when they went to the Super Bowl. You know,
so wild.
It is wild. Cam came back, and I mean, again, I think you can't underestimate what his impact was in that game, even though it was small. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like I said on the Cardinals show this week, a lot of these guys grew up idolizing someone like Cam Newton. Right. So to be now able to play with him on the Panthers, it probably got that team really fired up for him to get in there on a game where he really had no business even being active, considering how recently he was picked up by Carolina.
Well, and in the Cardinals defense, Kyler was out, then Colt got hurt, so they have their third string quarterback in there. It was just not a good game for the Cardinals. I mean, it just looked
right.
Rough.
It was it's like a lot of things. You get down behind, you get behind early like they did due to the turnovers and just Colt McCoy not being able to be really effective against their defense. And, you know, they had a hard time just getting everything back on track. I'm just more concerned about their defense, to be honest, and what Carolina was able to do to them. You could take away those two, scores, the two touchdowns due to the turnovers, and it still was a beatdown by Carolina. Yeah. So I think that they have a lot of things to address, not just their quarterback situation. Hopefully we'll see Kyler Murray back. He practiced today.
Yep.
Still no word on whether or not he's going to be available on Sunday. But
yeah, I was going to say, according to Darren Urban, he was at practice and all three quarterbacks did practice today, Kyler, Colt, and Chris. And Cliff Kingsbury said Kyler was moving around better than he was, but he is obviously still questionable for Sunday. Sure. But he was participating.
And Kyler said that he is ahead of schedule and he's feeling better earlier than he thought he would. But I think that the loss, the way it went, was so bad that they have to probably expedite him getting back on the field maybe a week earlier than they wanted to.
Yeah, I don't think you have a choice.
They just can't, you know, they can't risk now losing two in a row going into the bye week and just really kind of, you know, wondering where they stand when they come out of that bye week.
And it's a division game.
It's a division game against the Seahawks.
In conference, obviously, that's all going to impact playoff seeding and how you do, and that's the way the Cardinals have to think at this point. Sure. Is, you know, can they get that bye? Can they win this division? So I think you have to rush them back. And who would have guessed if you're missing your starting quarterback, your best receiver, your starting running back, and a bunch of offensive linemen that you might play a bad game?
Now we want to acknowledge injuries. We didn't want to talk about it when the D-backs were missing half of their roster.
The D-backs were built to fail. So even with that, they still would have been a bad baseball team. Really, it's not historically bad.
Still can't get over their preseason depth chart that had literally the same guy backing up three different people. It's like, well, what if all three of them are out? Is he going to play all three positions?
But yes.
Well, speaking of the Diamondbacks, just check in with them really quickly. It is the offseason, but they are making some great moves, in my opinion. They just are bolstering their coaching roster.
Yes.
Derek, what are your thoughts on their latest acquisitions for coaches?
I think it backs up what Mike Hazen said, that they are not going to necessarily go to free agency for positional needs because they have big positional needs. I mean, they're defensive runs, last in defensive run saves at saved at center field and at second base. So Ketel Marte needs to go back to second base. They'll have to fill Cole Calhoun's position, third base and center field. And I don't know if they have enough young players in the minor leagues ready to do that. So I wouldn't be surprised for them to pick up a free agent or two, just not make any drastic moves or any huge big money moves. The coaching hires, though, back up what Hazen said as far as going to their farm system for, you know, these positional needs. They really did bring in an all-star team of coaches. When you look at Joe Mather, Bannister, and now Brent Strom from the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. I spent 4 weeks talking about how much I admired watching Brent Strom in interviews and stuff through the playoffs and literally saying how much I would like a guy like that. So it's like my dream come true that they went after somebody that's, you know, just I was like, we need somebody like that with that experience. He has over 50 years of experience in Major League Baseball. You know, you can't discredit how important that is, but he's also not kind of like an old fogey when it comes to analytics and using newer technology in order to better the team. He's
like the head coach of the White Sox.
Yeah. I've been saying that for a long time. I'm excited because I really think that at times I believe baseball is a game that you don't have to go out there and pay guys a ton of money. I really feel like if you can develop guys, make them better with good coaching, that's the key to teams like the Tampa Bay Rays and other organizations.
Yep. I was about to say Ray Ball.
The thing about Strom, though, that excites me is the Astros had almost the identical record that the D-backs had this year, the year before Strom joined the team. And I'm not saying it was exclusively him, but within two seasons, the team was over 500 and were competing for playoff positions. And they ended up becoming one of the most successful teams as far as reaching the ALCS over a 5-year period and making the World Series.
Are you surprised that they invested so much in a coaching staff with Torrey Lovello on a 1 year? Like, does that shock you?
It shocks me because of these all being personal Torrey Lovello hires. But I think that they really believe in Torrey, and I don't think that they feel like this season was his fault. I do think that when you looked at his staff around him, they didn't have that much experience. Matt Hergis hadn't been a pitching coach for very long. It's primarily with the D-backs over the last 2 years. His bench coach was, you know, basically had pales in comparison to the experience that Jeff Bannister is coming in with, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I do say that they do have a coaching staff in place now that if they were to let Torrey Lovello go mid-season, they could not miss a beat and have an interim guy with as much experience, if not more so, than Torrey. I mean, Bannister won the AL Manager of the Year as the Texas Rangers manager in 2015. The guy is just an outstanding human being when we had him on the podcast, and he's somebody I get really excited about his approach and his philosophies to baseball. I do think that it's a surprise move, but I think that they're committed more to the development of the young players rather than giving Torrey the ultimate staff. I really do think at this point Torrey could be replaced and probably they'd retain the rest of the staff.
Yeah.
I hope that wasn't the thinking, hey, let's get these big names. So if we have to let Torrey go, we've got options.
I think the coaching staff is really, like what Derek was saying, they have so much experience and they're the perfect staff to develop all of the young talent the Diamondbacks have because they have a ton of it. Matt Huff in the comments saying Tucson legend.
That's
Brent
right.
Strom. Is he from Tucson?
He is from Tucson. He still resides there. He was actually the pitching coach for the Tucson Toros back in the 70s.
Well, there you
go. I think that was his first gig.
Welcome You're back optimistic to Arizona.
Is there I'm hope? Very optimistic. Just, I don't know. Baseball is one of those games that I've seen teams throw a lot of money around at big names and it doesn't necessarily work out. When you're adding to a core that you develop and you bring in those guys either through trades midseason or, you know, a free agency acquisition here or there to just put you over the top, that's different. But the Diamondbacks right now are so far off that right now they need to focus on developing who their core is, who's going to be a part of it. They have some great young talent right now, right at that level. I mean, you've seen some of these guys in fall league, Buddy Kennedy and Dom Canzone have been just tearing the cover off the ball over the last week in fall league. So and Kennedy, for instance, wasn't having a great, you know, fall up until that point. These guys can turn it around, and the coaching and, you know, developing them is such a big part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no more important time for the Diamondbacks organization than now to have good coaches, because yes, they are at the precipice of all of their young talent coming up through their system. So, all right, that was your Valley Sports temperature check. Before we get into our topic of the day, I've got to tell you guys about DraftKings Sportsbook. Football fans, who's ready to score some free bets? Now you can bet on any NFL game this week with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers who bet just $1 on either team to score can win $100 in free bets. When a team scores, you score. I feel like scoring happens in football. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, you know, the offense struggles a little bit. But to me, this seems like a pretty solid bet. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with new same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. That's one of my favorite parts of the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code PHNX. Bet $1 on either team to score, and you win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code PHNX this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. 21 and up only, Arizona only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Oh, that was a mouthful.
That is a lot.
All right, how about we get into our topic of the day? Yay. It's Arizona Sports Thanksgiving. Woo! I know it might seem a little early. We're a week, more than a little bit of a week away from Thanksgiving, but I already have our topic planned out for next week, and it has all to do with rivalries, obviously, as a Territorial Cup is on Saturday. So I figured we might as well talk about Thanksgiving now, because 'tis the season and Thanksgiving's my holiday, my favorite holiday, and this is my show. So you know what? We're going to talk about Thanksgiving.
Hey, we do everything early now. You got to start decorating for Halloween in September.
There's a war on Thanksgiving right now, because there's really so much Christmas stuff out there.
It makes me so mad.
Give me an inflatable turkey, damn it. I don't need Christmas
right now.
There's
a whole holiday in between Halloween and Christmas.
Nope.
And everyone forgets about it, and it makes me so angry. I don't want to hear Christmas music. I don't want to see your stupid Christmas decorations. I don't want to even like think about Christmas until after Thanksgiving.
I called the police on 99.9 KEZ already for playing Christmas
music this early.
Thank you.
You're doing us all a service.
Sting? No, come on. Come on. We need
Sting and the police?
No.
The actual police. Right.
But neither wanted to hear from
me. I literally feel like I'm
it.
Just watching a show right here. Like I'm on like a live studio audience.
Steve, do you have your Christmas decorations?
But we've talked about it on our show that, well, somebody might have heard. My wife and I, we won the neighborhood Halloween decorating contest. Like, that's real. The HOA had as a thing, and we won it.
That's how you know when you're old.
Yeah, I like it. It is so old. And they're all craft
made.
I won the HOA decorating contest.
They're all homemade. They weren't store-bought. They're all homemade crafty, and we're gearing up for Christmas, but it will not go up before Thanksgiving, Mac, because I agree with you 100%.
Oh, thank you.
We are not going to premature decorate, and we're going to wait until Friday or maybe Saturday for Christmas decorations.
That's why we have Friday off from work.
It is.
That's when we unleash Mariah Carey, the Friday after Thanksgiving. Until then, keep her trapped in her box.
What
or
does
whatever.
That say? Mariah Carey needs to be
restrained until November 26th.
You're my favorite person.
Right. Yes.
It's the funniest Mac on the show right now.
You said
I was the evil twin.
But thank you. I'm glad we're all on the same page about that, because people who are listening to Christmas music and decorating for Christmas right now really just make me upset. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. There's literally no better combination on the planet than food, family, and football. I'm sorry, but it is an elite holiday. Like, I will stuff my face with food on the couch, hanging out with my family, watching football 10 times out of 10. It's
the family part.
But there was a study that said apparently people who decorate for Christmas earlier are happier.
What's that about?
I call that some crap, all right?
I agree. I think they're just trying to rush their lives away and speed it up, so they're actually miserable, but they're just hiding their Christmas cheer.
I can't wait. And to Mac's point, it is about football. And one thing, we'll go back into my little tiny world of hockey for a minute. There used to be a lot of hockey games on Thanksgiving. I worked a lot of Thanksgivings, and it stunk. Like you'd get up, you'd have to have Thanksgiving breakfast because you either had to fly. I've had Thanksgiving dinners in hotels, and it stinks.
Oh, man.
But there are no NHL hockey games on Thanksgiving this year. That's fantastic.
Are you happy about that? You get to hang out with your family.
Yay. It's football day. It's football.
It is kind of funny how we develop some of these holidays that everybody should be taking off and spending with their family into like, not you guys.
Not you guys.
We want to watch you guys while we're hanging out with
them. Speaking of which, we're going to have live shows on Christmas here. How many shows?
Yay!
There's games all over. Like, the Christmas thing's gotten out of hand. Yeah. Right? Like, I get the basketball thing, but now football's playing on Christmas too.
Yep.
I will say I absolutely dread watching the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. I don't know why they're America's team. Something needs to be changed about that because it really just upsets me.
Do they
pull
out Madden's mutant turkey with all the
aren't those the memories you have as a kid though? Like, don't we need John Madden on Thanksgiving? Like, that's part of, and we're talking about
watching
what
we're
thankful for and all these things. Like, it's the voices and the people that bring us our sports. It's Howard Cosell on Monday night. Those are the people that, like, they bring us our sports and they come into our homes and they're our best friends. Joe Buck literally works every sport everywhere. I don't know how he does it, but he's like part of our family now because he delivers our sports to us. And we talk about we're thankful, though. So thankful that those people deliver those sports to us.
Yeah.
And in our own little world, we're trying to do that here.
So true. Well, speaking of PD, why don't you tell us what you're thankful for about sports or Arizona sports this season?
Won't be Arizona sports. Sorry. Sorry, Coyotes. Not your year. There's a couple things that come to mind. We're talking about thankful in sports. And it's all in the most recent history. And you go back to when the day sports stopped for all of us. And all of a sudden you went from real life, everything's normal, to now you stay in your house. And what we all wanted to do, I think, when we had that time, put on a baseball game, put on a basketball game. Let's watch some football. And it was gone.
Yeah.
And I think that void, we still had our Netflix, we still had our weekly sitcoms, but we didn't have sports. And to me, that void, we talk about music being the soundtrack of our lives. I think for me personally, it's sports. There's always a game on. I literally don't care what live sport is on. I like the sound in the background of the crowd, the energy, the squeak of the shoes on the floor. And when that went away, during the pandemic, I think that was the saddest point of the pandemic for me. I didn't mind sitting at home eating pizza and hanging out watching TV. It's great, but there was no sports.
Sure.
And so when that came back, you realized how important sports were to all of us. And the first sport that came back, I think, and Derek might know this, was Taiwan baseball.
Korean baseball.
So yep. I literally was watching that. And
I was getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch it, and then I realized I can DVR it. And
it's actually so crazy. I remember the first moment I felt a little. This is kind of depressing. Jeez, the first time that I kind of felt like a little glimmer of hope was, I heard all over Twitter that, you know, there was this Korean baseball game happening and all my Twitter friends were talking about it. It's like, okay, I have to watch this. And I watched a Korean baseball game and I literally cried because I was so happy.
I got emotional too.
That there was a sporting event happening. And also, I'm a big baseball person. So, of course, I was extra happy that it was baseball. But I didn't even care that I couldn't understand what the broadcasters were saying. I knew none of the players on the field or in the dugout. But I was just ecstatic that there was a live sporting event. And I literally cried watching that game.
Yeah.
It was a Korean baseball game.
The minute I saw KBO, I was the first thing I did was I was like, all right, which one of these teams are my teams now.
Yes, and, I did the same.
Yeah. I was like, NC Dinos, and somehow I rode the team that ended up winning the championship all the way to the end. But that made it even more exciting. Like, that made me want to be a fan of it for life and just surpass just watching it while I was waiting for my other sports to come back. I was in it, you know.
Yep.
Their trophy was a sword, you guys. A sword, an actual sword. It was great.
I tried to buy a jersey. That's how much I was like, I need this in my life. Yeah. Mac, I tend to be the loud, the boisterous, the joking one. Not that anybody's surprised at this admission. But for me, what I'm thankful about in sports is we live in a world that can be very divided by a lot of different things, right?
Yep.
Like, just general life right now can be very much two factions pitted against each other, people, you know, not having, being able to have civil discourse. And sports is that thing that kind of transcends that and still seems to now, where it's a common language. It's a bond. It doesn't matter your race, your religion, the language you speak, even sometimes, you know, you put on, you know,
Cardinals red or Coyotes 16 colors that they have or purple and orange or D-backs Sedona red.
Or purple and, or teal sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's the better color scheme. But and all of a sudden, it's an instant connection to another human being.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter any of the other stuff. It's we're part of this fraternity, sorority, whatever you want to, however you want to refer to it. And we have a common bond. And we can put all the other noise and all the other crap aside for 2-3 hours and literally and figuratively become one voice. And that really hit me when I went to a playoff game against the Lakers when it was right after they had basically reopened the arena to fans downtown. And, you know, you get this chant and it's one voice as a group and it's loud and it's, this is my city, this is my team. I don't care about the other stuff. And to me, you know, I'm grateful for that because a lot of us grown up didn't feel like we fit in, didn't, you know, those kind of things. But sports was always a space where you could feel like that, where you could really connect with people, you know. And it's even on a personal, it's how I connected with my dad as a kid too. Yeah. And I think a lot of people experience that, you know, that was one of the bonding things in those memories. So to me, that's what I'm thankful for, is that we have this thing that can be so much bigger than other aspects of what's going on and be used as a tool to help, you know, push things forward in society as well. So that common bond is what I'm thankful for.
Have you ever been in Las Vegas wearing a Phoenix Suns jersey and came across another person wearing a Phoenix Suns jersey?
Not just Las Vegas.
Or
like
anywhere.
Anywhere
outside of the city. It's incredible. It's an incredible feeling. I think I've far too often compared the division, like you're talking about, in politics, in religion, all these other things, to sports. I've said that kind of at times. I feel like people's biggest problems with these things is that's their team now, and their team, they root for that team no matter what. They back that team, kind of like people sometimes do with sports, where they often like excuse the mistakes their team makes, and they if it's a player on their team, they're not very critical versus if it was a team player on another team, right? But I don't think that's a fair comparison, because like you're saying, sports, even when it's been people that are on opposite teams, has always brought me and my friends together. When I think when my team is playing my friend's team, it brings us together even more. Like, yeah, we're going to say very terrible things to each other during the course of that game. But at the end of the night, we're going to be arm in arm and drinking beers.
Yeah, because we enjoyed the end result.
Exactly.
Like that's the thing too about it. So I know that's a little cheesy, but
no, but you're right.
It's very much that.
Yeah. You talk about your dad, and it's the bond. And if you don't cry watching Field of Dreams when Kevin Costner says, "Dad, can we have a catch?" Like, if you don't cry, you're not human.
You were heartless.
You are. And it's just, it's not your family. It's your friends. I call my dad, and the first thing I say, "Do you see the game?"
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what brings us. We can go to a sports bar tonight and sit with 50 people we don't know and don't care about, and we're all rooting for the same thing. Mm-hmm. Nothing in this world does that like sports. Yeah. It is, I don't want to overstate it, but you look at when you get your friends together, Super Bowl party, you're watching the game, it brings people together. It brought us this group of misfits that come to PHNX.
Yeah.
It's all brought together because of our love of sports.
Yeah.
Like, I think it does immediately break down walls. And yes, there are people that take it too far and you don't want the fights in the stands and those. No, the friendly rivalries.
Sure.
Like my wife and I, she's a Royals fan. I'm a Twins fan.
Yeah.
American League Central. We can't wait for baseball. We love rooting against each other as teams. It's so fun.
You're a Diamondbacks fan.
I know. We always talked about that, though. We talk about that openly. When you're born and raised there, every other game, I'm a Diamondback fan.
Yep.
I do have a Diamondback hat. Mm-hmm. I swear I have got the T-shirts.
I believe you.
I swear I do.
You sound like you do.
But I swear I do. But I got the Twins stuff too. It's hard to shake that.
Let's not act like Petey's a front runner. You just admitted he's a Twins fan.
A Twins fan.
That's similar to the pain that a lot of people here feel too. So.
But thanks for having me. I'm talking about this, Mac. It's kind of choking me up.
I know. I was just about to say I wasn't expecting to get so emotional on this podcast. Your guys'
answers.
I didn't
think that was coming from me.
I know. Yeah. You were all so intelligent and well spoken. Jeez, what happened?
something.
The evil twin.
Yes. PD, I did want to make, did you wrap up your, I wanted to make sure that you got to finish your what you're grateful for.
No, I think I did.
Perfect.
I thought you did. I'm sorry that I interrupted you for a long
time. Stepped all over 10 minutes ago. So.
Derek, what are you the most grateful for about sports?
You know, it's interesting because it goes kind of along the same lines as what they said just about sports bringing us together. But I am grateful for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I say that because I think now is a time where they need a little bit of a hug. They need a little bit of love. And I want to say, personally, for at least me, the Arizona Diamondbacks have meant so much to me. I still remember to this day when my friend Charles came up to me during PE and told me that we were getting a baseball team. And I was like, what do you mean a baseball team? And he had to like a real baseball team, like a real one or like the Firebirds, you know, and like, no, a real one. And then we went over the names and I remember hearing that the Tampa Bay Rays were getting Devil Rays and we were going to be the Diamondbacks. Of course, we were like freshmen in high school. So when we found out they were going to be nicknamed the D-backs, we had a lot of funny things to say. We were going to get blasted for this name. But anyway, you know, all these years later, you know, it's crazy to me that this is my job, right? And the Diamondbacks have always kind of been interwoven into my life somehow. My wife and I were big fans, so like when we were dating, we used to go to baseball games a lot. That was like our movies. My wife didn't really like to go to the movies, but she'd love to go sit at a baseball game for 3 hours with me and you know, watch it on TV. And that's kind of where we bonded and developed a lot of our relationship and stuff, you know. But also realizing this person that I was kind of in love with was awesome. And she watched baseball and like knew about it. And we could sit here and have like these great conversations during it, you know. But then fast forward to when I started working for a small website for the Sports Cave, and the Diamondbacks, the organization themselves, were so open to us. They were so open to me, to credentialing me. For us being a little no-name website, we were treated the same way like any other publication or anybody else was, right? Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't be sitting here now if it wouldn't have been for the way that the Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, gave me that opportunity, allowed me to be part of their media, and also made me kind of part of the family. You know, I have received more messages from people at the PR department at the Diamondbacks congratulating me on the successes of my life or checking in with me about bad things that have happened more than I probably could say I've received from my own members of my family. You know, they just are an incredibly caring group of people. And I've been covering this team for 10 years, and every single year still feels like a dream come true that I get to watch baseball. I get to cover baseball, and we have it here in our town. Like, you know, growing up as a baseball fan here, you just grew used to like spring training was the thing we go do, you know, and that's it. But then, and we get to see all the teams. So like, you know, my dad always tried to spin it in a positive way. Like we don't have one team. We have half the league, you know, that kind of thing before we ever had a baseball team. So it's the connection with my dad, you know, and my wife and just everything, but the Diamondbacks have just, they've always meant a lot to me. And it's kind of, it transcended now past the winning and the losing. I've, you know, watched them win. I've watched them lose. Being in the clubhouse with them when they celebrated, you know, their wild card victory was, again, for me as a sports fan growing up, where my favorite show was SportsCenter at like 8 years old, that was a dream come true. You know, so the Diamondbacks have just honestly made my dreams come true, covering them, being a fan of them.
He's much more evolved than me. He said the wins and losses don't matter. I'm like, I still live and die with that stuff.
Let me tell you, when you have to watch 162 games on a bad season, you do stop. It's like a lot of things, right? You have to start looking for other things to care about. Mm-hmm. And this season, the Diamondbacks had two of their four no-hitters in their 23-year, you know, existence. That's something to say. One and a half, we'll say.
The other thing, too, is when it gets to be, and I am a huge baseball fan. I love the sport. I love baseball. If I don't tell any of the hockey people, I love baseball. Like, it's sunny. It's warm. Hockey's cold and it's snowing. Like, if I could come back and do it all over and be a baseball guy. But you're right. It becomes, at 162 games, it's almost like a soap opera. Who's playing? Who's good? Who's on a streak? Who's in? Who's out? Like, you care more about the people and the players, and you they become your guys, your friends, your buddies. Oh, this guy's struggling now. It's too bad. And those storylines are what keep you coming back to the TV, not the wins and the losses.
It's so true. Right. Especially when you have a struggling team, you have to find something to invest yourself in.
Well, and I'll say this. Like, you can look at what the Dodgers and the Giants did in the division, right? And how many games they won and how great they were. Neither one of them are the World Series champions at this point, right? So that's another great thing about baseball is I know this is the case in a lot of sports, but you can throw all the money you want at it. It's not going to fix the problem. It's how you spend the money. And importantly enough right now for the D-backs, it's who you have in charge of the players and, you know, developing them.
I will say that too, watching playoff baseball, and I know we're digressing, sorry, Mac, but you watch playoff baseball, and I watch as much baseball on TV as I challenge anybody every day, and there are, might I fall asleep for an inning? Yeah, I might. Or I might mow the lawn and miss a little bit.
Absolutely.
But I tell you what, playoff baseball, every pitch matters, and you're on the edge of your seat for every pitch for nine innings. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's so great about that sport, is it people literally on the edge of seats for that game takes forever, by the way, Derek. You need a clock. But
I'll work on that. You and me both are on the same page.
But
about
my
that.
Gosh, it was so fun watching the World Series again this year. I miss baseball right now.
I'm thankful for digressions that we're allowed to go on.
You're welcome. Only because
we don't get paid
it.
By the hour, Espo. Clearly,
you don't.
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
All of your answers were awesome. I think mine is obviously going to be along the same lines of what I'm the most grateful for. I mean, sports is my life. Obviously, I work in sports. I went to school for sports. I played sports. I mean, sports is pretty much all I've ever known. I think more than anything, the connection that it provides to other people, I think, is so beautiful and rare, and something that you can't get in any other avenue. Try not to get to cry. A lot of people always ask me, like, where do my love of sports come from? Because, you know, I'm a woman in sports, so I get that question a lot. Obviously, you know, I didn't play hockey. I didn't play baseball. I didn't play football. So where do you like sports? Or why do you like sports? And my love of sports, obviously, not obviously, but my love of sports comes from my grandmother. I lived with my grandmother for 18 years, and she is the biggest Denver Broncos fan you will ever meet. I mean, she had her own little section of the house, and I would hear this woman screaming at the television. I always knew it was Sunday because she'd be screaming at the television for the Broncos to run faster or whatever it was. And I could hear her all the way across the house. And eventually I started watching games with her, and just watching how much my grandmother loved the game of football made me think, like, I can love something this much too. And so my grandma still texts me to this day. She lives in Florida now, in a little retirement park with all of her friends. And she still texts me to this day. I have to text her the score updates of the Broncos game every single Friday, because the Broncos, they don't get to watch the Broncos in Florida, unfortunately. So the bond that I have with my grandmother on sports just means so much to me. My grandma's my favorite person in my life. I will love that woman forever and always. And so the fact that, you know, she'll still text me on Sunday, well, how are the Broncos doing? Tell me the score. She'll also tell me if she puts her Broncos flag out or if she puts it in, depending on how they're performing.
It's you don't a superstition just lie to her and be like, grandma. The Broncos are the greatest team in the NFL.
They won by 72 again, Grandma.
It was so funny because she was scared to put her flag out after the Broncos beat the Cowboys, because she's like, I don't want to curse them. I'm like, Grandma, it's okay. Like, you put that Broncos flag out.
Don't
so.
Worry. Teddy Bridgewater will do it for you.
Exactly. So, I mean, the connection that the sports provided me to not only my grandmother, but now my mom. And, you know, my dad and I will watch football every time I go home, Friday through Sunday. And, you know, my mom is so invested in what we're doing here, just because she loves me and supports me. I think you
She's
all have heard her.
Best. She is.
Seen your her in your Twitter best. DMs. She's bought two memberships. She's a double member to PHNX.
She knows she can buy the shirt without buying the membership,
yeah,
right?
She knows. So
she keep buying memberships for every shirt she wants. That's
the
great.
Connection that the sports has provided me to my family, you know, in my life now, obviously, you know, getting to work with you guys has been a dream come true. But the community that sports provides in general is just incredible. I was fortunate, obviously, to work in Denver for DNVR, who's our sister company. And, you know, the community that they built there is incredible. I mean, they have people who support their brand day in, day out, will come to anything and everything that has a DNVR name on it. And now that we have a chance to build something like that here is something that makes me so excited, because Arizona sports fans are insane, but amazing, because even though their teams are usually really bad, they still care so, so, so much. And I love the Arizona sports community beyond measure. I mean, they are incredible humans who just are so passionate about their teams. And more than anything in this world, I want to instill, you know, the community that DNVR has in Denver here in Phoenix, because Arizona sports fans deserve that. They deserve a community that cares about their sport just as much as they do. that they can turn to, that they'll always know, like, there's going to be someone else who cares just as much as they care, you know, within our family, within our PHNX family. So I'm so fortunate that I get to work for a company that allows me to express my sports love and also fosters a community of people who love sports just as much as I do, if not more. So obviously that is an incredible part of what we get to do. And I'm so thankful for that, because like Espo was saying, there's nothing in this world that provides a connection for people like sports does. I mean, the Olympics, there are people that compete in the Olympics that, you know, are from all different countries, all different backgrounds, all different languages, that don't even speak the same language and still come together to play sports.
That's a great point. The history of the Olympics too, I was a classics minor, so sorry the nerdiness here, but you know, they used to stop war because of sports to go to the Olympics back in Greece and Roman times, where so they would literally they'd stop war and everybody would come from across the globe to compete in the Olympics. So it's always had a powerful pull for people. So
yeah.
And one thing you said that hit home with me was I do remember being a kid and watching how much my parents, my dad and his friends and my uncles enjoyed sports. And like I remember like wanting to, like, I want to be a part of this. Yeah. I want to have that much fun. Like, they seem like they're having a blast. They're screaming, they're throwing chips around. It's great, you know? And so like, I just remember that being not some, like, at a young age, not getting it. And then once I made that connection to sports, it was my favorite thing.
Yeah. It's the coolest thing in the world, getting to share commonalities with people that you would have never had something in common with before, and sports provides that. So
shout out to Denver too, by the way. My mom was born in Denver, so when I was a kid, before we had the Cardinals, we were Denver Broncos fans.
Hey, look at you.
I was an Avalanche fan when the Avalanche came around, and I also now work for a company that is somehow attached to a company based out of Denver.
Crazy
so
how that happens.
It's really insane how there's that connection.
Yep. Love it. Gotta love it. I love sports. It's everything to me, obviously, like I was saying. And it's all apparent that it's important to all of us, too. So that is what we are all grateful for. And if you want to be a part of something, like I was just saying, our PHNX family, you guys have to join us. We really care about what we're doing, and we care about our community, and we want to build an awesome Arizona sports fan base here in Arizona. So make sure you go subscribe to gophnx.com. That's where you'll get access to our members only Discord. All of us are in the Discord talking constantly with everybody that's in there. The members of the Coyotes Discord
it was popping
last night in the Discord, but they got a sneak peek at our shirt before anybody else did, and they also got a chance to buy it before anybody else did. So obviously when you're a member, you get awesome perks. We want to hook you guys up before we hook anybody else up, because we care so much that you are supporting us. We want to make sure that we are returning the favor. You'll also get access to amazing written content. The articles that are on gophnx.com right now are some of the best I've ever read. Mike Luke is doing a 5-part series on the downfall of Arizona football, which I never thought I would care about because I went to ASU, but it's actually very interesting. So make sure to check out all of our written content. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, you can also get access to this podcast and all of our other podcasts on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to those. And we would love your support. You also get a free t-shirt if you sign up for an annual membership. And our t-shirts are pretty sweet. You've got the Suns Gorilla shirt on Espo, the gray flag, PHNX flag on Derek, and our, of course, Cody Coyote shirt.
Cody Coyote. And by the way, two new colors hit yesterday and the new Coyote design this morning.
It is
sick.
So good.
And literally ordered it at 10:02 today.
Wow.
True story.
So for the cost of a cup of coffee, you can support a ragtag bunch of sports media people in Phoenix.
That's right.
We are a ragtag, but we're lovable and we care a lot about what we do. And I love that about us.
Some of us are lovable. Yeah. I'm not so much.
No, you're not. Right. No, just kidding. Thank you guys for sharing what you were grateful for. That actually was really beautiful and made me very emotional. So thanks for sharing. On a lighter note.
Did you have doubts? You're like,
yeah. No, just kidding.
What are these guys going to bring?
I do really want to know, though, however, on the topic of Thanksgiving, what your favorite Thanksgiving food is. And you can only pick one, because this is going to be our Phoenix Sports podcast. Poll of the week on Twitter.
Well, I'm about to piss a lot of people.
I'm going to go ahead and start because I already know mine and I don't want anybody else to take it. Stuffing. There's literally nothing better than stuffing on Thanksgiving. I'm sorry, but stuffing is elite. I would eat a bowl of stuffing by itself, honestly. You have to pick something else.
The more basic, the better as far as stuffing goes. I like regular old stovetop. that has not touched a chicken or a turkey.
Okay, no, no, no. That's
I don't
weird.
Want
it
to
be
chicken
inside
or
of
a turkey.
Turkey.
You are wrong.
Yeah,
no,
that's weird. No. No, no, no. Stuffing that's inside of a turkey is elite. Stuffing is the best Thanksgiving food. No questions asked. Also, if you're in the comments and you're watching, please comment and let us know what your favorite Thanksgiving food is, because we would like to know.
I want to go in two different directions with this, because I want to say my personal one, because I'm the only person that gets this, and it's the cranberry sauce. They buy a whole can of cranberry sauce just for me.
Damn,
so I can
you.
Have
you're
my,
a picky cranberry
I thought it was
going to
be controversial.
No, here's
that's
the thing. I'm going to let you have
nope,
it. I'm going to let you have it because I want to win the poll.
Nope.
So I'm going to go rolls.
Ooh,
rolls.
Okay.
Everybody loves
right,
rolls.
Okay.
Rolls.
You could hate every other
stuffing
side. You're eating
stuff.
Rolls.
Hold
on.
Both of you just picked bread. One slightly
yeah.
stale,
mine is
jammed
bread.
Into a turkey,
yes.
oh,
and then one
God.
In a basket. You
oh,
both what, pick bread.
I could do sweet potatoes with the little marshmallows on top. I'm being honest here. I'm going to eat a dozen rolls myself.
Carb, you can't go wrong with carbs. Mac right. Huff saying stuffing hands down. Thank you, Mac Huff.
Yep.
The Macs are on a roll today. I think Mac is my long
Macs
lost.
All stick
it's Mac
yeah.
and cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. Hey,
oh, jeez. All right.
Look,
Espo, what's your nomination for best Thanksgiving?
It's cranberry
food?
Sauce out of a can.
Oh, the
it has to be out
I
of a can.
Know
Mac,
the
never
sound
had it.
Is elite.
Never had it.
I'm bringing it to our friend. I'm bringing
it
to our friend.
Why would you eat that? Who would eat that?
What do you mean you've never had it, though?
Just the sound it makes splooshing out of the cat. Who do you
yes,
eat that?
That means it's
that
a good.
Is that food?
That's part of it.
It's That's part
that,
of it.
That sound is elite. The taste is elite.
The shape?
The
shape,
of
the
that
can?
It's got the can
oh,
on
oh
it.
I put it in the same
next
category
level.
As spam.
Top tier.
Next level.
I agree.
Next level.
None of Friendsgiving. Spam is disgusting.
None of that
cranberry sauce is disgusting.
Oh,
I think.
Where's actual cranberries?
No,
who
no.
wants that? Nobody wants
I want
that.
A slice of what came out of the can.
Nobody wants that.
I feel
that.
Like we should have done this first because all of my warm, feely, fuzzy
gone.
Feelings have
gone,
gone away.
Gone.
Gone away.
Wait, by the way, anything Thanksgiving, I'm in. I'm about. Because
yeah.
now, remember when I was a kid, I lived close to my family in the Midwest. It was grandma, grandpa, uncles, aunts.
Cranberries
and everything
only good
was
with
there.
Some
and
vodka.
Now it's just not that. And so there are a lot of Thanksgivings that. You know what? Let's just make tacos. It's easy.
If you
or
say tacos, I'm walking
pizza.
Off the
turkey
set.
Turkey tacos?
No, I'm not saying tacos,
okay.
but we do it. Or let's just order a pizza and watch football. Done it. Sad, but true.
Mm.
I'm going to go with the end of the meal. Turkey clearly is too easy. The pies are the best. I grew up with apple because
okay.
I'm a Midwestern kid, but I'm all about a pumpkin pie with whipped cream right now or a little bit of warm vanilla ice cream because you overdo pumpkin this time of year, pumpkin,
yeah.
everything, hate yeah. it, cookies, everything, chips, coffee, pumpkin
PSLs,
pie,
intact yeah. PSLs.
The one day a year you get an excuse to have a pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for making this easy win for me.
Does anybody actually like the turkey? I
no,
feel like
I don't.
The turkey's
making,
just there because you need something.
When
you douse it in yeah, not yeah. Like,
I feel like the
gross.
Turkey is just like
that's
a side.
That's disgusting.
That, like,
when you douse the turkey in cranberries,
yeah,
what is wrong with you? No,
turkey.
Nobody.
I feel like the turkey
no, I've
just
never
exists
done that in my life.
Because I feel like the turkey is just there because it has to be there. It's like tradition, but like. I don't care about turkey on Thanksgiving. Like, I'm there for the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, the cheesy potatoes. Like,
I'm making brisket. That's what I'm making.
I'm excited
this
for
year.
Your brisket.
I'm making brisket
well,
for us.
You're stuff the stuffing in the brisket?
I can do that. I can figure it out.
I feel like the turkey's just there as a vessel to make the stuffing.
So somebody is bringing turkey to the Friendsgiving.
Deep fried turkey. I believe it's Arnold, our graphic
yeah,
designer.
Yeah, so for your turkey.
That sounds dangerous.
Well, I was just going to say, what's the backup plan?
Brett making a great point
brisket.
Saying cranberry
yeah,
is only good with some vodka. Brett, I agree completely.
Now, that's somebody that belongs. In the Coyotes
Brett,
after
Brett,
our
Brett,
show.
Brett gets
Brett.
It.
That's group therapy
Brett
alcohol.
Also saying that we miss mashed potatoes. I agree. I was
yep.
thinking that someone was going to take mashed potatoes,
well,
but apparently I'm on a
potatoes.
Panel with some dinguses.
Hey, look, look, I'm going for a universally loved, not often thought of side.
All right. Well, you heard what we had to say about our favorite Thanksgiving dishes. I'm going to put a poll on Twitter. Make sure you go
Rolls.
Follow Rolls. At PHNX _ sports on Twitter. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook, but follow us on Twitter for the poll. We didn't have a poll last week, so I can't update you on the results. Sorry about that. Make sure you vote and tell us what you think is the best Thanksgiving food or nominate your own. Obviously, we missed a bunch and went in a direction I did not anticipate. So you can definitely tell us what you think your favorite Thanksgiving food is. I hope you all who are listening have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your families. You get to enjoy some good football. You
yes.
get to eat some good food and you get to connect over your love of sports with other people. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Don't forget to go to gophnx.com and become a member of our family, and we will see you next week.